Do you have any familiarity with role-playing games or Dungeons & Dragons in particular?
I grew up as a good geek boy right around here, and role-playing games, sci-fi movies, comic books especially. However, very indicative of what I do now, I didn't play role-playing games very often. I enjoyed learning everything I could about them, knowing the system, reading the books, knowing the characters, knowing how to... I could tell somebody how to play. D&D, Werewolf, Marvel Superheroes role-playing game was a big one, my friends. I could tell them how to play them. I didn't play them much.
Did you get together with groups of friends and you would be the one saying, oh yeah, well that rule says this.
We'd talk about it and they played more. And when I did play, it was generally on the Dungeon Master side, for those that don't play. Because even that was still on the organizational side. But looking back at my experience with it, this really fits what I do now, which is you guys go play, I'm going to learn how you can go play.
Cool. So we'll get started there with the character names.
I'm going to put both names, and if that has to look like Grant Knudsen is my character and Minion Productions is my type of character, then that's fine.
Minion Productions.
Minion Productions is the name of the artist services company through which my wife and I do our projects.
All right, and now we will give you a four-sided die.
Great.
To roll, and what we're going to do... go ahead.
Whoa.
That's a four. You may choose a motto that is either four or five words, your choice. While you're thinking about that, Jamie and I will do a quick intro, and we will be off to the races.
Hey, and welcome once again to The Artist Rolls, a new perspective on creators and creating. I'm Jamie Gower.
And I'm Sean Mitchell. And today with us is Grant Knudsen, Managing Director of Minion Productions and a producer, and someone I've worked with before in the past. Welcome, Grant.
Hello, it's great to be here.
So, you had up to five words for your motto. What is your motto?
I'm going to stick to the four that I rolled and be accurate there.
Okay.
I'm going to say to nurture and collaborate.
To nurture and collaborate. I like it. We got to translate that one into Latin. feels like it would be a great Latin. There's like two words there.
A little overly studious sounding. That fits me perfectly.
No, it's good.
I translated my motto into Latin.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah. Iego iucari qui dilexi. I kid because I love.
Okay, excellent.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Which makes it sound both professional and studious and fun.
So nurturing, collaborating, these are things you must do every day.
Yes.
If this is your motto.
Absolutely. That would be what I would consider the crux of the job. It's hard to define because we essentially made up this role. My wife and I, she is in a very different industry and can afford to cover us both. And I was working mostly in theater, and she encouraged me. There was no pleading in that we can afford this. She had encouraged me to move towards doing it full time as we were helping artists produce their work locally and started to take people on the road. So now the closest we get to a quick description of what we do is that we help independent artists, people with no big company behind them, find the resources they need to develop their shows, produce their work, present their work, and plan tours, which is the biggest thrust of what we do is get people on the road for independent tours or especially fringe theater festival tours. Side of that, helping out artists in different ways, we also tend to help new events or festivals get on their feet and new venues find artists. So overall, helping new artistic ventures get the resources they need to get on their feet.
Cool. Is this something that has emerged because of the internet? Was there a role like this earlier?
Absolutely, and it's really a role that I have seen other people take, but in different ways. On the festival circuit especially, there are producers. Most people end up going out on their own, which means suddenly a performing artist is taking on roles we are never trained for, high school, college, afterwards. Right. No matter what continuing education you do, 90% of the artists out there don't learn the logistical side, budgeting, scheduling, marketing, and therefore are not great at it.
Yeah.
So there are people that do it, and I know that people did it before the internet as well, but it's so much easier. And I don't know, like right now, my next few projects are in town, but that has been not commonplace the last 3-4 years. So come winter and spring, my next few projects are in Central Valley, California, and then in Dallas, and then hopefully I'll hit some of the Canadian circuit because they have the best Fringe Theater Festival circuit in the world. They are much bigger, older, more organized than the U.S. ones, which are generally newer and kind of happen catch as you can, whereas the Canadian ones work to time it. You could start on the East Coast and go to the West Coast. Now, they choose artists randomly, so you may not be able to, but they are the biggest circuit around. They are not the biggest festivals. Edinburgh was the first Fringe Festival and is still the biggest. In fact, so huge, most of the artists I work with don't go do it now because it's an awful financial choice. Wonderful choice for fun and a wonderful choice for being seen and maybe getting other European gigs. But the first, say, three biggest in the world are all pretty much about that, about fun, about meeting other artists, being seen, which would be Edinburgh, Adelaide, and Brighton.
So Adelaide, Australia?
Adelaide, Australia is the second biggest
in
the world.
And Brighton, England?
Brighton was the third a few years ago. It's possible now it has been beaten out by other Australian festivals. I'm very geeky on the numbers for this, too. I make spreadsheets at home of the American and Canadian festivals that I have to sit and decipher for the artists I consult with. But that's a big part of it, is just, here's numbers you wouldn't normally look at, and let's sit and decide what you're going to go do. Here's how you would budget for that, working backwards. Here's how you would schedule for that, working backwards, which most artists don't learn to do. We think, well, I'm free to do photos next Wednesday. Great. Okay, I can't get to my rehearsal till next month. Like, no. You want to hit a January festival. Work backwards. Great. Yeah. You need to hit it next January. A month before then, you already need to have all your marketing info in, which means a month before that, you need to have done your photo shoot, which means blah, 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 all the way back. You're probably 2 weeks behind now. Let's get going. That's the kind of thing we do. Sit over coffee, sit over a beer. And one of, if we had to choose a different motto, it's very similar to the which sounds a little condescending, and I never mean it that way, but it's I work with 1 to 5 year olds during the day at a pre-kindergarten school, and one of the things I say at both of them a lot is, well, I won't do this for you, but I will help you do it. Let's go sit and budget. You're going to do it, but I'm going to help.
You have to do it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it means we're really proud a year later. Instead of, we need to get people ingrained, we need to keep them with us, if the next time they do it, they're like, oh, I don't think I need you. It feels really good. And we can
our
work
little
with
baby.
People. Exactly. they know how to market at Winnipeg now, and that's one of the hardest. Oh, that feels good. So,
hey, we're going to we're going to look at the sheet.
Great.
Section 2 of the artist roles character sheet is the roles roll.
Okay.
Go ahead and pick a D8 and a D10, which are those two right there. Give it a roll.
Nine.
And
okay,
what we're going to ask you to do, Grant, is divide those 9 points among the 5 roles you see there. Studio artist, performer, writer, director, producer.
So, that's going to be tough. I'm going to have to put most of it into a producer, because that is mostly what we do, is help people get those things planned. Director would fit in. Writing at this point is mostly marketing aspects, requests for proposals, things like that, though the marketing is a lot of it. Performer has been very little of what I've done for 5-6 years now, so I'm only going to see. I'm going to put a 1 in there because I still, as you saw the other day at the Second Story Hideaway, I still get to be on stage and be myself, which I love. I'm going to give myself at least a 2 for director, 6, and then put the rest into producer.
3 for producer.
I would have put more into there if I had more numbers all on the producer side, but we have to do a lot of roles when there's, when between me and the artist, we are essentially the entire creative team.
Right.
Yes.
Do you, is there one of those where you'd like to spend more time? Do you miss performing? Do you, you know, it's...
Not right now, no, which is odd. I've always split my time between the production administrative roles and performing since middle school, honestly. And I did an acting directing major in college, performed at Second Story Repertory all the time over here at Village Theater, at Fringe Theaters in Seattle, and I always split that time until the last 5 or 6 years when we found this particular role to help artists. And now I haven't even thought about going back.
So obviously that's filling that creative urge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which before, like I said, I could take time off, but I'd always go back to it.
Yeah.
And so far this has been a great role. And I think it shows to me that it is the correct fit, because I haven't had an urge to get into any of the other roles I used to fill. I have an urge to build this up and learn new things about it.
So when the things that you filled out here, you talk about how this producer role is fulfilling, and we have numbers in the other roles. Are these things that you're actively doing now as a producer?
Yes, mainly because of the needs of different shows. What we're trying to do is help artists that have almost no resources, that have no company behind them, or, again, small events or festivals that are just being born, just getting on their feet. So the reason it is spread around that much, I think, is that between me and the other producers on events and festivals, or me and the artists, again, we have to do the photos, we have to do the graphics, we have to write the marketing blurbs. I will help the artists get workshops of their shows up so they can develop, help them get feedback from more people so they can develop the shows. So it very much takes on a writing role, a directing role. I do have to be on stage to often host, to introduce, things like that, especially at workshops. And then we often do have to create whatever props we need, whatever costumes we need, all of those production elements. So I spread it out a lot more than I was thinking, but I think it's because of the other four areas are all in service of the production area, of the producer area.
Excellent. All right, well, let's go on to section 3 of the character sheet. It's the medium's roll. Again, take that D8 and D10, give it a roll.
All right.
And that is a 10.
10 a little
and
more.
Take those 10 points and divide them among the 5 mediums, live, video, audio, physical, and print web.
Okay. Like a lot of live performers, I am not terribly thrilled with seeing myself on a different medium, on film and TV and such. And I will listen to this later, just physically blanching at the sound of my own voice, as we all do, since we hear it way back in the back of our neck, and everybody else hears it through the front of our nose. So those are low, but we do, as we travel, we just discussed the role of the internet and everything we do, making this job possible. Then I get to go on the road to many different cities where social media is useless if you know nobody to be social with. So suddenly we are grabbing everything we can. We are marketing in person. You're flyering lines. You're running around with packing tape, putting up posters. And you hit any local radio, TV, podcast you can do. So we do have to do
that.
Does
that feel like live to you, that aspect of marketing?
You're
out there putting yourself out. It's not print web, right?
This is
the real deal.
That is directly in front of people, and it is the place where everybody learns one of the biggest misconceptions about performing artists, to me. And we say this all the time because we also do workshops on logistics of touring and producing. We try to break things down into some pithy little phrases sometimes. We said everybody assumes artists, performing artists especially, are very outgoing and good with people because they see them on stage and they are big and outgoing up there. And all of us who are in the arts, the non-civilians, as it were, know that is not true. And the way we put that is, if we were good at expressing ourselves in a normal mainstream way, why would we put so much of our life, so much time, energy, and money into doing it in this underappreciated and difficult and underpaid way if we didn't have to? So watching artists have to go talk to somebody directly out of character to hype their own work is a weird mixture of painful and hilarious.
Do you have that problem yourself?
Yes, less so. Again, I just, one of the reasons I have not missed the performing side as much is I enjoy being on stage. I enjoy talking to people, but I think I enjoy it more as myself. But the flip side of that, and I discovered this, been discussing it for years. I had a big revelation on it yesterday for various reasons, but I am mostly hyping other people's work. I could go after this and put up a huge blog post about how I enjoy the structure of the artist roles, and it's a fun way to keep this going. And I think what I already put on Facebook this morning is a Puget Sound appropriate level of geekiness to the fact that it's an RPG-themed interview. And, you know, for the home of Amazon and Microsoft and great performing artists.
Wizards of the Coast.
It fits well. Absolutely. Yeah. But when it's about me, I'm not great at it.
So I'm going back to the
and I haven't
here.
Done this
put
yet.
The numbers.
Yes,
down.
I'm going to put.
You can and you can put
where
zeros.
Where do people find you?
Where do people find
in terms of the mediums?
I'm going to say mostly live, if that has to do with live performance and talking to people.
You mentioned earlier you have a tremendous social media presence, which I guess goes print, web.
Yeah. And that would be my second in my mind.
Okay.
One.
Yeah. Because the others all exist, but they are all, again, as I had said with the roles role, they exist in service of the live. The print web I went higher on because it exists so much, so often. There is so much of it in service of the live. But again, once we hit a new town, that's rough. When you go back, you can slowly build that. But nobody knows us.
We've reached the halfway point of the artist roles. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute with Grant Knutson.
Hey, thanks for joining us for our second interview of 2015. We know you didn't hear much from us in December, but we're back and ready for a new year.
Yep, we have a bunch of great interviews lined up for you with more fun new perspectives on creators and creating.
And you can help. Drop us a line on theartistroles.com/talktous and let us know if there's a creator you'd like to hear on the show.
And if you like what we're doing here, please leave us a positive review on iTunes. They really help. And now, back to impresario Grant Knutson.
Oh, impresario. Great word.
Thank you.
We're back with Grant Knutson. Section 4 of the character sheet. Style.
Style. See, now I got you saying it
like
that.
It's awesome. You got a graph there, and I feel like we probably know where you're going to end up. Tell us a little bit about what that graph says.
I've been thinking about this one. The ideal for the work I do with artists would be to be way down in this bottom left-hand corner, helping the artists be at collaborative and prepared. And my goal is to take them from wherever they would be up here with the artist mind and thinking mostly about the performance and working alone and drag it down here as much as possible.
Cool. Can you make some marks indicating that journey?
I'm going to put ideal. Common. Dragging it down, and I'm going to say just about usual. Now, what that means is we can get we can work together, we can get artists working together, we can get them working with us, and we can prepare as much as possible and get them more prepared, since I spend my time when I'm not on the road getting all the info we can. Then you go on the road, and you can control maybe a quarter of what happens to you at any time. And whether the weather sucks that particular day, and your show is very similar to another show by an artist they know better, and you don't get any press, and your car breaks down, and then the reason I have to go a little more towards the solo side as well is most of the shows are solo or tiny cast, and when I'm home, I generally work in at a coffee shop or my home office alone.
How much do you have to fight fires on the road? I mean, how much of that is just spontaneous, you know, oh my God, something happened, I got to go deal with this?
All the time, absolutely. Think about how much you would have to do that for the theater folks and for any art. In any artistic venture and any new venture, any new business, somebody who's opening a restaurant, somebody who's opening a retail store, think about that, plus now we're going to do it in a very low money, low resource way in a city where you know no one and have probably never been.
Uh-huh.
So things come up all the time, which is why we try to drag down to this lower left-hand corner of collaborative and prepared mm-hmm. as much as possible, as early as possible, because life will then drag you back up
right.
from wherever you are.
So really, for your form, the arrow is you.
Yes.
This is you taking the artist on this journey.
That would be a pretty good visual of my job, okay. is to take from wherever they are as far down here as we can mm-hmm. before life takes us back.
Right.
Before life. But then it sounds like we
need another arrow in there.
Yeah.
Cause, yeah.
Because then when you're in the site, then all of a sudden you're popping back to spontaneous.
Mm.
You said.
So I think we have to put another arrow.
Which way would you go for that one from what I'm saying?
Well, you're going from your prepared. You've dragged them down to prepared.
Yes. And now we're going.
We end up, you know, back. In reality or not in.
Yeah.
In,
well, and this could be a good place to end up, you know, say. Result or something similar in there, because right. At that point you don't want it to look collaborative and prepared when the artist is on stage.
Oh, sure.
That's not what you want the audience to see.
Right.
It's new for them every time.
Feels fresh, yeah.
It's the old adage, but even more so, that doesn't matter how well the show went yesterday, they saw today.
Yeah.
And when you're in another town, this may be the time they see you for the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. So you want it to be up here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go on.
Okay.
Section 5 of the character sheet, the superpowers.
Yes.
I've got 5 superpowers there, and you can read them.
Yeah.
And what we're going to ask you to do is choose one for each column. The superpower that you think you have, that's the have column, choose one. The superpower that other people might think you have, you're just going right for it. The superpower you want to have. Go ahead, tell us what you wrote.
Absolutely. Sorry, I was doing that while you were talking.
No, that's right.
What it seems I would have to many people is probably telepathy. Mm-hmm. Being able to communicate with all the different people. And one of the things I've heard, hopefully jokingly, from many artists is, it seems like you're really good at taking these ideas that seem a little ambitious, a little too big, and maybe not a great idea on paper, and talking us into doing them. Making it seem, hopefully it's because we're making it seem like a better idea when we tell them how we can help and how they can do it and how they can get resources.
Uh-huh.
It may just be manipulative, who knows? I'd say this power we have is shape shifter. Mm-hmm. The lovely background that I have to be able to do this job is the jack of all trades, but certainly master of none.
Mm-hmm.
The background in performing, a background in event work, from housework, a background in marketing, a background in managing customer service staffs at theaters and museums, taking elements of all of those mm-hmm. so that, okay, we can't, you know, if you want to do a masterful, huge marketing campaign, I'll introduce you to somebody who's amazing at that.
Mm-hmm.
But we can help you with all these areas a bit.
Right.
So shapeshifter seems huge for that.
Right.
What I would love, what I would want, is hypervision. Speaking of the spontaneous earlier, the putting out fires, having no real control over the conditions and the crowd.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to see all of that, to see it beforehand, to see it better while I'm there,
uh-huh.
to see what people want, what they're going to respond to, uh-huh. and how it's going to go.
How do you see, you work with all these different artists, and presumably you have some selection technique. How do you see what an artist has that you want to be involved with?
We are lucky to be working on a relatively small scale in that way. Not small scale in ambition. Like I said, we're helping artists tour internationally. We tour around North America. We work on events in multiple states, but we can only help a handful of people at a time. It's mostly my wife and I, plus, you know, a dozen other people that we call in to help a lot. And we're working with fringe theater that if we plan an entire summer of Canadian festival touring, it boggles the mind to an artist that it might cost upwards of $5,000 to $6,000,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
which compared to almost any other venture anywhere is what you spend on shelving your sign in the window.
Yeah.
We can work on a small scale financially and with a small amount of artists, so we can kind of pick what we enjoy
right.
and what we think will do well in these new venues in town, which mm-hmm. or on the road, which are very similar.
So you go to them or they come to you?
We originally, 4 or 5 years ago, we went to a handful of artists, the first 4 or 5 people we worked with, and said, we help people do this. We'd like to help you. Mm-hmm. Now, the last 2 or 3 years, and it's been a really fun kind of ego boost when you're working alone, there's only 2-3 artists we've been helping indefinitely. Generally, there's 4 or 5 projects I'm working on at a time, but I'll talk to 2 dozen people in a week to send them a snippet.
The last thing we talk about is luck. You've done some die rolls, and you had some, actually, you had some good die rolls. Absolutely. Above average. And we want to know from you what your relationship to luck is. Do you believe in luck? What do you think about luck in general?
I believe in circumstances you can't foresee. And that can go for you or against you. And that is how I personally define luck, being a non-superstitious person and a sometimes too grounded, realistic person. I think you can, as we said earlier, prepare as much as you can, get as much help as you can, and then things are still going to happen as they will. Mm-hmm. And the more prepared you are, the less what we call luck will work against you, mm-hmm. and the more ready you will be for those unforeseen circumstances. You're not spending that last 2 days before the new venue opens, before the festival starts, doing all the things you could have done a month ago. Then you can spend that time on the unforeseen circumstances.
Mm-hmm. That is a really neat approach. I don't think I've heard that before, of the fact that you see luck as an essentially neither benign nor malevolent force.
I see almost nothing in life as one of those, but yeah.
Exactly. But the fact that, because we've had people say, like, well, you know, the more you prepare, the more lucky you are. And what you're saying is that the more you prepare, the more you can just deal with absolutely whatever it is.
Most good artists or bad. Are working on their product, whether that means writing, whether that means a show, whether that means the painting. You're focused on the project to the point of almost having blinders on. Mm-hmm. And if what we can do is get you to remember that you're 2 weeks out and your fee is due, your marketing's due, then that gets done. You're not running late. You're not missing time. You're not using that time on something that should be done already. Your time is ready for what will inevitably, unpredictably come up mm-hmm. at the last minute.
So luck is a measure of the unpredictability of the world.
Unpredictability and how well you've freed up your time by being prepared.
Unless you have something else, we'll give you your quick plugs.
For local folks, the 3 things I would say, if you would like to learn about how to get to performance festivals, not just fringe festivals, or how to tour fringe level work independently, come find me at minionproductions.org, or even better, on Facebook at Minion Productions. You'll see a really fun blue robot on there. If you would like to see our current work locally, which is helping local independent and variety artists get on stage, we've been working at Second Story Hideaway. Again, find us on the website, but especially find us on Facebook, where we throw new information and ticket deals up every day. And then the next project we have is the Tacoma First Night event. You can find it under First Night Tacoma Pierce County on, again, Facebook or the website, and we'll be bringing 6 different fringe shows to the First Night event.
Our guest today has been Grant Knutson, producer, Minion Productions, managing director, and we've had a great time, lot of good stuff.
This is great.
Grant knows his stuff.
Thank you so much for having me here, guys. I apologize for making it difficult to edit down, and I was really glad to be here.
Congratulations, you've made it to the special features portion of the podcast. If you haven't already done it, subscribe on iTunes or the Windows Store. Then leave us a positive review, whether you want to or not.
We're always on the lookout for interesting creative guests, so if you want to roll the dice, see what I did there, huh? Head on over to the Contact Us page on theartistrolls.com.
We can be bribed with candy.
Amazon gift cards.
Dog treats.
Signed photos of Kate Blanchett.
And thanks again for listening to The Artist Rolls.